What do you think the number one job the kids want now, going through like elementary school and say intermediate school? What do you think the number one job is they want to be? Gamer? That's a good one. It's actually kind of evolved a little bit from gamer, and gaming is included in this, but it's evolved a little bit. They want to be an influencer. An influencer. I mean, how wild is that? You're like, you want to be an influencer. Like, what does that even mean? And some of it is streaming games, which this blows my mind, right? And I can't understand this, but people will watch people playing video games. I'm like, I just don't get it. I mean, I know there's a market there because people are getting paid to do this, but it just, like, why don't you just play the game? You know, instead of watching somebody play the game. But kids say they want to be an influencer. And I bet you guys didn't know it, but we have an influencer in our midst this morning. Our very own Mark Cross. Our very own Mark Cross, Pastor Mark, is a YouTube influencer. Now, he's going to influence you to eat roadkill, eat the animals that most people don't eat, but he's an influencer. And that's what kids want to be today. They want to be an influencer. They want to be on YouTube. They want to have their videos get a million likes. They want to be on Instagram, TikTok. They want to be on all the social media platforms. They want to get followers. If they get followers, they've got influence, and they get paid. And so that's the number one job. You go to elementary school, ask my wife what kids want to be, and it's influencer. And so in saying that, I want to ask you guys, how many in here would how many of you think you're an influencer? Pastor Mark didn't even raise any hand. Well, yeah, there he goes. All right, I got one hand. But my goal today is maybe to change that, to change your opinion, maybe to change your assessment of yourself, to get you to see that you are an influencer. Because today I want you to see you are an influencer for God's glory. I want you to see yourself as God sees you, that you're an influencer. That you and I are called to be light in this world, to show the love of God day in and day out. That is our calling. And you have no idea how one conversation, one word of encouragement, one expression of love might change someone's life, how you might influence someone's life in that moment. So I did some research and went online to try to figure out what different articles and writers are saying about influencers. Just go to Google and type in what's an influencer. You'll be surprised. And so the definition that came up constantly, here's the definition that kept coming up, is that the influencer is an individual who has the power to affect purchase decisions of others because of their authority, knowledge, or relationship with their audience. Ain't that amazing? Let me read one more time to wrap your head around this. An influencer is an individual who has the power to affect purchasing decisions of others because of their authority, knowledge, or relationship with their audience. It's like, really? That's what an influencer is? That, I mean, influencer is someone who influences you to purchase things by the amount of followers they have on social media account. I'm confused. I know I'm getting older. I still don't feel like I'm not omega old yet, but I am getting older. And I feel that, but you know, when I was growing up, an influencer was a teacher. An influencer was a coach. A good parent, a good friend, a Sunday school teacher. That was influencers in my days. And what culture has done is culture has changed the term to now you say influencer, you're thinking a celebrity. It's a creator, a content creator. It's someone who amasses a great number of followers on social media. And so what I want us to do today, I want to reclaim the word influencer. And I want you to see yourself as an influencer because you have no idea how God could use you. And so we're going to look at three ways to be an influencer this morning. So first way we're going to be influencer is by our prayers. So I will influence in my prayers. Come on, let's be honest. We're used to praying small, safe prayers, aren't we? I mean, be honest, we're in church. Lord, bless so-and-so. Lord, help us have a good day. Lord, bless this food, which that one's a loaded one, isn't it? Lord, bless this double patted hamburger with bacon and ham on top. I don't think even God could help you with that one. But we pray these small, safe prayers. And I'm not telling you not to pray these prayers, but I'm telling you we should pray about everything. Because I believe our prayers should be a strategic part of our influence. Because our goal as influencers, our goal is to influence those who are far from Christ. Okay, if that's our goal, then we should be praying for them and praying for ourselves, shouldn't we? That we'll be ready to make the most out of every opportunity that God would give opportunities to us, that we could influence somebody. We should be praying in that direction. Look how Paul says it in Colossians 4, 2 to 6. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so as you may know how to answer everyone. I mean, that's a powerful prayer. Notice he said we should devote ourselves to prayer. He doesn't say, hey, you might maybe want to pray if it comes to mind. No, he says you need to pre-decide. You're going to pre-decide to pray constantly. And so we're going to set a standard this morning that we're going to pre-decide to pray constantly. Not just those soft, little, small, safe prayers. We're going to pray some giant prayers that's going to open some giant doors to you to be the salt and light to this world. Because that's what we're called to be. And how are we going to do that? How are we going to be influencing if you're not praying that direction? And so Paul's saying, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to pre-decide to pray constantly. Pray for what? He advises that you be watchful for open doors to proclaim Christ in ways that you act towards others outside of faith. Make most of every opportunity. Always be ready to give graceful answers to everyone. This is what Paul's urging us to do two things here in this prayer. Boils down to two things. Talk to God about people. Talk to God with people. Talk about God with people. That's the two things. It's really quite simple. This is going to be our prayer. We talk to God about people, and we're going to talk about God with people. So we can have influence with our prayers. And so we're going to pray through that direction. We're going to pray that God's going to give us open doors to share Christ with people who are far from Him. We're going to pray for others who are close to God that will share Christ with people who are far from Him. We're going to pray that people who are far from God will receive the message of Christ and walk through these doors one day. We're going to pray in that direction. Why? Because we want to be influencers for the kingdom of God. This is how it starts in your prayer life. Pray for yourselves. I mean, think about it. How do we usually pray for ourselves? Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me with this new job. Bless me with the raise. Bless me with the car. By the way, we'll be giving Pastor Mark's truck away, second service, so come back. For a bonus, it's got a John boat in the back of it this morning, so you get a truck and a boat, so you know you want to be here for second service. So this is the kind of way we usually pray, right? But now, since we're going to pre-decide that we're going to be influencers, we're going to pray that God opens some doors. Because this is how we become influencers on mission for the kingdom of God. Listen, if we're not on mission, if we don't pre-decide this stuff, it's not going to just happen. Maybe once a year you have somebody, a conversation open up where you can share Christ. But unless you pre-decide, come on, if we start pre-deciding, we're going to be praying every day that God, we're not going to leave the house till we pray that God will give me opportunity to be the salt and be the light to somebody. That's what we're going to do. Why? Because we want to be influencers for the kingdom of God. So let's start doing this. Let's pre-decide. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up ask God to open a door for me. Why? Because we're called to love, to make a difference in the life of those around us. And if we pray for God, He's going to give us opportunities. And so we're going to influence our prayers. Second example today is I'm going to influence with my example. I'm going to be an influencer with my example. I mean, a lot of you have done certain jobs for a long time. You've done a certain job for so long, things just naturally come out of you, right? Like, for example, some of you guys know Bruce Pippenhagen. They can't be with us this morning, but Bruce is a wonderful guy. He knows a lot about construction. He knows a lot about plumbing, right? So one day, not too long ago, we're at church, about Sunday school hour, all the water stops. A great time for water to stop at a church, right? In the middle of your busiest day, right? Water stops. We're talking about Bruce jumps into action. I mean, nobody even has to ask him. He's already down in the basement. He's looking at things. He's with Pastor Mark. They're in waiters because had a flood down there. I mean, they're in waiters working with electrical stuff. It was a very smart time for them. But, I mean, it was just, he just did this naturally. Why? Because he knew, right? He had a lot. He knew. This is what, he knows it. This is what, like some of you guys, you're experts in your field. And so when something comes up, you just jump in action just because that's what you know. You know, anytime I'm in a party, there's food. Guess who gets asked to pray? Usually I got my mouth full, so I got to swallow and pray for forgiveness for eating or for out praying. But and then we pray, right? Because that's just who I am. That's just what we do. It just naturally kind of comes out of us. And so when you know who you are, you know what to do. And so who are you this morning? And so I want to show you exactly who Jesus says you are. He uses two metaphors in Matthew's Gospels. In Matthew chapter 5, He says you are the salt of the earth. So what does salt do? We understand it purifies, it preserves, adds flavors. He said, you're salt, and Jesus also said, you're light. So all you this morning are salty, I understand that, and you're shiny. So you're salty and shiny this morning. Jesus said, you're salt and salt and light. So you're salt of the earth, light of the world. And when Jesus said this was the salt was the second most important commodity of the time when Jesus said this. The first was light. So do you know where that phrase comes, worth the weight in salt, comes from? The Romans used to pay people in salt. That's why they say he's worth his weight in salt. They'd pay you salt. How many would you like to get a salt paycheck today? Come on. So it's very important at those times. So salt does three things real quickly. It preserves, it heals. And we also understand it creates thirst, doesn't it? You eat some salty pretzels, you want something to drink, right? You eat a lot of, like, I love salty ham. After that, I need something to drink, right? And so we understand this. It creates a thirst. Come on, you see where I'm going already on this one, don't you? Listen, when we're full of God's love, God's love creates a thirst in other people. And so when you're full of joy, you go around with joy all the time. You get questioned, why do you have so much joy? Why are you happy all the time? I'll never forget one time my wife got a question. Why are you smiling all the time? I'm telling you, when you have this fullness of God in you, your example sheds everywhere, doesn't it? And it creates a thirst in people around you where they're hungry and they want to know what you have and how do you have that and how do I get that? It creates this thirst. And Jesus said, you're the salt and you're the light. Come in. We live in a dark world. I don't have to tell you that, do I? As light, you're an influencer. As light, you've been called. As light, you can influence those around you. Because the pastor, use your family. I'm going to use Melissa again, an example. She worked in the Bolivar school system. Loved it. Loved the place she worked. She had a great time. She would say, I'd go in the hallway and it'd be nothing for me to see a teacher praying for another teacher. She said, we'd have prayer time. I mean, she said it was an amazing environment. She leaves that to go to her current school, which is a Title I school. And she said, it's darkness. There's not really any Christians. praying is not even, it's foreign. Culture is this, it's a toxic culture. And so you want an example of light going in dark. She goes, I'm just called. I'm called to go there. I'm called. Listen, we're called to be the light. Because once you show up a light, it influences, doesn't it? You can't help it. You can't help. I mean, there's light shining doors right now, and I can't stop it. You can't stop being influenced if you shine the light. And that's what happens when there's a salt and a light. That's how God wants you and I to affect change in people all around us, to create this thirst in them. They see you. They see your example. They see how you respond. How you didn't lash out when they did something wrong. How you showed grace. They're like, hey, tell me a little bit more about that. Hey, why are you not mad right now? Why are you not angry right now? This only happens if we are the salt and the light. It just flows out of us naturally. Great example is Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas. Some of you heard this story. Paul and Silas are in jail. They're in jail and this earthquake happens. In Acts chapter 16, verse 29 and 30 says this, and the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He witnessed their faith. He experienced their love. So he asked, what I got to do to be saved? He heard them preach. He heard them worshiping that night. That night, they're in shackles in the bottom of the jail where everything naturally flows, right? And it's a gross situation. They're in the midst of all that after being beaten, after being flogged. Which is means one more hit and they probably wouldn't have been dead. But they flogged to the point of death and they stopped. But because Paul and Silas knew who they were, what happened was what naturally came out of them in the midst of all this was praise and worship. Come on, I don't know if I could do that. But this is naturally came out because they knew who they were. They knew what they're called to do. And so they start singing. And light starts shining everywhere. And this jailer is like, what do I got to do to have what you got? It's this example that you and I carry as Christians that shines around us, that creates thirst in others. Tony, when we know who we are, we know what to do. You've been called by God to carry a message of what He's done in your life. You're called to be the salt. You're called to be a light. You're called to be an influencer. Here's what I hope you understand. Influencing isn't always obvious. It isn't always instant. Just because you don't see a harvest doesn't mean your seed didn't take root. I mean, you have no idea how God might use you to plant a seed that will grow to everlasting influence in someone's life. In fact, I want to end with a story in the New Testament of the most unlikely person you ever think that would be an influencer. It leads us to the last example. I will be an influencer with my words. Our story takes place in John chapter 4, and many of you know this. It's about a woman that nobody ever thought would have influence. The context of the story, Jesus is taking a trip, and on his journey, he wants to go through Samaria. And understand that in this journey that normally, like, Jesus was here and say Samaria was straight back there. So nowadays, you and I, we hit Google GPS here, and we want the most direct route, right? We want right there. What they did, though, in their time is, being a good Jewish person, to get to where he was going, if you went straight, you have to go through Samaria. Well, that wasn't good. And so what they normally would do is they'd go way around Samaria and get to their destination. Add multiple days to their trip. And so nobody expected him to do this because Jews did not interact with Samaritans. And Samaritans were half Jews and half Gentiles. So that means they were unclean. That means they were less than dogs in the Jews' eyes. Nobody would even, if you're a good Jewish person, you don't even talk to them. One's walking down the street, you cross the street, walk around. That's how bad it was. You never interacted with a Jewish or a Samaritan person. Especially not a Samaritan woman. That's like doubling down. That's really bad. And so once again, Jesus shocked everybody. He sits down in the middle of the day by the well to rest. And the Samaritan woman comes up. And Jesus asks her for a drink. Again, you don't do that. You don't do that. But he dignified her by starting a conversation and threw her completely off guard. And scripture says in verse 9, the woman was surprised. She was shocked. She's overwhelmed. She's beside herself. She never expected this. It's unheard of. No Jewish man would ever approach a Samaritan woman. So this is weird. This is bizarre. She's surprised. She's shocked. I mean, there's rules for this kind of thing. And she said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied with love. I mean, you could sense the love in verse 10. It says, "If you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you're speaking to, you'd ask me, and I would give you living water." Okay, so she's intrigued. She's confused. And she says, "Sir, come on. You don't even have a bucket. The well's deep. You don't have a bucket. How can you get water?" And Jesus replied, verse 13, "Anyone who drinks of this water, this natural water, will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink of the water I give will never be thirsty again." So I think at this point, this woman's starting to notice something different about this man. She says, "Sir, may I please have some of this living water?" And so here goes Jesus in verse 16. "Okay, first go get your husband." And of course, this throws her off. She continues in the next verse, "I don't have a husband." The woman replied, and Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." And she said, "You must be a prophet." You just need to understand the weight of this, that there wasn't a Jewish man anywhere who would have interacted with this woman. But Jesus approached her with love in his heart, dignified her. He honors her. All that time, he knew she was an outcast. That she was an outcast in her own community. Divorced five times, now she's even shacked up with another guy. And that would raise eyebrows in that day. She would have been shunned. She'd been the woman everybody would be whispering about. Everybody would be, "Hey, you need to stay away from her." All the jokes, all that would be pointed at this lady. And Jesus, knowing all this, doesn't look at her as an amoral woman, but instead, he looks at her like a miracle waiting to happen, knowing that one touch from heaven could completely change her heart. And it dawns on her during this time, wait a minute. We've heard about this Messiah. The Messiah's coming. I've heard of this man doing miracles, raising the dead from blind. From the dead from the grave, opened the blind eyes. And so she starts thinking, you know, why is this guy talking about? Maybe he's the one. Perhaps he is the Messiah. So then she runs back to her village. The Bible says she left her water jar behind, ran all the way to the village, telling everybody, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever done. Can this be the Christ?" So what happens? The shunned lady comes to town yelling, "Hey, come see a man told you." People came streaming from the village to see her. I mean, what do we see in this powerful story? First, we see one thing, that no matter how bad your life is messed up, you're not too far from the love of God to reach in your life and bring you back. Then you see the town outcast, the one that everybody else would whisper about, go around excitingly telling people, "This may be the one. This could be the one." This broken woman, this messed up woman, the woman everybody whispered about, the one everybody called immoral, this one, she becomes an influencer. Do you see that? In an instant, she becomes an influencer. Her story shows us that you don't have to have it all together to influence someone towards Jesus. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to have a powerful prayer to be able to quote the exact place in the Bible. You know, it says somewhere. I wish I could tell you. I don't Come on, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have all things in your life figured out to be an influencer. Here's what you do know. You have to know who Jesus is and care about the people around you. And then you can immediately be a light in this world and salt to those around you. You just got to care about people. You don't need 4,000 followers to have a platform. You need to care about the one person who's right in front of you right now. You're an influencer. Every one of you in here this morning, you're an influence. You don't have to know it all. Just let your light shine. Let your salt do what salt does. Listen, you have no idea how you can influence those around you with your prayers, with your example, with your words. Look what happens in the story. The woman goes back to the village, tells everybody and the disciples about it. They come back. Jesus comes back. And they ask, hey, have you eaten yet, Jesus? And then Jesus takes them on this spiritual journey. He said, my food is to do the will of God. He said, the field is ripe for harvest. Using this farming metaphor, you guys understand. The field is ripe for harvest. He said, but laborers are few. You know, we could say it this way. He says, listen, church, the field is ripe for harvest, but the influencers are few. And so this morning, what I'm saying this morning, don't let culture rob you from your calling by categorizing influencers as someone only on social media. Because it doesn't start with a platform. It starts with the person right in front of you. You're an influencer. The woman goes back and tells everyone, I love this next part of the story in verse 39. In verse 39, it says, many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Many believed this messed up woman and her testimony, and many Samaritans got saved. You realize a miracle that just happened. Jews didn't believe God was for these people. Because this one lady said, you know what, I'm going to be an influencer. I'm not going to let the enemy hold me back because of my past. I'm going to go tell everybody what I just saw. What does she do? What does it say? Woman's testimony, her story. That's the best part. She didn't come up with a theologically sound sermon to preach to her community. She told her story. Each one of you have a story about what God has done in your life, how God changed you, how God saved you, how God freed you. Every one of you have your story. And it's your job to be an influencer and tell your story. How easy is that? I love telling my story. Why? Because I know my story. I don't know your story. It's easy for me because I lived it. You lived it. That's how we be an influencer. I mean, that statement alone would be so shocking that anybody believe that a Samaritan could come to Christ. Because one woman had influence. One unlikely woman said, Jesus told me everything I did. When they came out to see Jesus, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days. Who did God use? It wasn't an Instagram star. It wasn't a professional athlete. It wasn't a celebrity. It wasn't a content creator. It was a regular, ordinary, everyday, broken, sinful woman who had been transformed by God. I'm telling you, you have influence exactly where you're, that God has placed you at this time, in this place, at that job, in that neighborhood, for this moment, for you to be an influencer. And you have no idea what that one word of encouragement, that one expression of love would do to somebody. Just when you greet people to walk in our doors on a Sunday morning, when they come to church, how it helps someone who's uncomfortable and nervous, how they feel loved, you're an influencer. When you listen to someone who's hurting at work, you represent the love of Christ by not judging them, but by simply listening to them, you're an influencer. I mean, you don't even know, just the way you worship, just the way you carry yourself. You're an influencer to those around you. So this morning, don't let culture's definition rob you of God's calling. If you know Jesus, then you know you're salt and you know you're light. Let your salt do what it does. Let your light shine, because God created you to influence others with the love of Christ. You're an influencer. Why don't you stand with us this morning?